today. So Bhagavad Gita 10:11 reads, Tesham evanu kampartam ahama jnana jam tamaha nasyami atma bhavashto jnana dipena basvata. And this means, to show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So, to focus in on the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, when Lord Chaitanya was in Banaras promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda Saraswati, a very influential and learned scholar in Banaras at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, that is not the fact. There are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. So I have some quotes to just reinforce this statement. This is a quite well-known verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 12. Tatshradhana muniyo jnana vairagya yuktaya poshanti atmani chatmanam bhaktyashuta grihitaya, which means, this seriously inquisitive student or sage, well-equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes the absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. So, Prabhupada has often made the point that a Vaishnava is automatically a Vedantist. He's automatically the best of the Brahmanas because a Vaishnava is serving. He has a personal relationship with the Lord, who is the object of all the Vedantists' philosophical research. And here's another famous verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharata Vidim Vina Aikantiki Hariyar Bhaktir Upatatyaiva Kalpate. Devotional service to the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, Narada, Pancharatra, etc. is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. So the activities of devotional service are supported. That's a simpler word. They're supported in every way by the Shastric statements. Even if someone doesn't know all the Shastras through and through and cannot argue or cannot defend all the items of devotional service, still, if he simply follows the Bhakti Yoga system as it is given by the Acharyas, then he is perfectly situated in Shastric knowledge because that is his practice. His practice is the actual conclusion of the Shastras. So he himself becomes an example of proper achar, the behavior that is taught in the scriptures. So, and if we see someone claiming to be a devotee whose behavior is not in line with Shastra, then as explained here, that's a disturbance to society. So continuing with the purport, but even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. The modern philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education, and even without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still helped by the Supreme God, as stated in this verse. So I have some notes here. This point is already explained. We talked about this yesterday. Since Vedic knowledge is svatta siddhi gyan, self-manifest within the soul, it is the natural property of the pure devotee who surrenders to the Lord in the heart. I have a nice quote from Srila Prabhupada. Tesham, who are those? Tesham, he's speaking of this verse. Not all. Satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tesham. It is a special favor for them. Tesham evanukampartam. So, if Krishna dissipates ignorance from the heart of a person, how can he be less intelligent? If somebody is guided by the most perfect intellectual, then how can he be less intelligent? So these Mayavadis' accusation that bhakti is meant for the less intelligent class and jnana is meant for the higher class of men. So this accusation is refuted that no, don't think the devotees are less intelligent because I am guiding them. Dr. Patel is speaking with Prabhupada in his conversation. Nasyami atma bhavashto aham ajnana jam tamaha. Tama nasyami atma bhavashto. Prabhupada, tama. No more ignorance, darkness. So how a devotee can be in darkness and ignorance? This is refuted. And now here's another point. In any case, Vedic knowledge that analyzes the living entity's entanglement in the material energy is subordinate to the knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Vedanta is mostly concerned with the former and only hints at the latter. Srimad Bhagavatam says the former is to be given up upon attainment of the latter. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.24. With steady intelligence, you should develop unalloyed devotional service by careful worship of the spiritual master. And with the sharpened axe of transcendental knowledge, you should cut off the subtle material covering of the soul. Upon realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you should then give up that axe of analytic knowledge. So in the purport, the section we just read from, Prabhupada writes, the modern philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. So, in this verse just quoted from the Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, Sri Krishna is comparing that analytic or discrimination. Discrimination means that just like the process of neti, this searching out the self by negating what is not the self. This is discrimination. One is analyzing the material elements, just like Prabhupada gave a very simple example of this. He was giving one school program in San Francisco back in the 60s, and he was asking the students to point to your hand, point to your leg, point to your chest, point to your head, point here, point there. And then finally he said, point to you. And they didn't know where to point. So this is an example of analytic knowledge, a very simple example. The jnanis, they take this to great extremes by studying the Sankhya philosophy, which analyzes the various elements of creation and so on and so forth. So this is being compared by Krishna to a sharpened axe. By this discrimination, one cuts himself free, in theory, intellectually. He cuts himself, he cuts the soul free from material entanglement. But Sri Krishna says that has its place, that type of knowledge has its place before one realizes the personality of Godhead. But when one comes to that point, then one should drop this axe of analytic knowledge. For having realized the form of the Supreme Lord, then one has realized the absolute truth. So this knowledge, again, this is actually this sharpened axe. This is actually this Indriya Paratantra Gyan. It is dependent upon sense perception in the ultimate issue. Even though it is guided by the Vedic scriptures. So one has to rise beyond this. So therefore, when Krishna says he's giving knowledge from within the heart, he's giving, this is already explained yesterday, the svata sitta jnana. So the next point, surrender to the Lord and full realization of his transcendental personality does not depend upon the cultivation of analytic knowledge. It's a quote from Srila Prabhupada. No, there is no question of understanding. Suppose this process, just like Krishna says, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavamam Prapadyante. After many, many births of culture of knowledge, the person who has come to the highest point of knowledge, he surrenders unto me. So similarly, if any person without any knowledge, if he surrenders only to Krishna, he acquires all the knowledge. He has surpassed all stages. He has surpassed all stages. Again, Prabhupada says it. And that is also confirmed. If you say, how has he gone, surpassed all stage? The answer in Bhagavad Gita you find, Tesham Ivanu Kampartam, Aham Agyana Jam Tamaha, Nasyam Yatma Bhavashto Gyanati Pena Bhashvata. Tesham. Because he is a devotee. Just to give, just to show him a special favor, Tesham Ivanu Kampartam, simply for showing a special favor, I myself, from within, I light up the knowledge. I mean to say, searchlight. And he becomes, and you will be surprised that my Guru Maharaj's spiritual master was Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was completely illiterate. He did not know how to sign. Prabhupada says he did not know how to write his own name. He did not know how to sign. And my spiritual master was the most learned man of his age. He accepted that guru who was completely illiterate. But when he would speak, that Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he would speak with all Vedic references. And you will find in the Veda that Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir, Yata Devi Tata Garo, Tasyaiti Katita Hyarta, Prakasante Mahatmanaha. So the spiritual knowledge becomes revealed. It is not subjected to any material acquisition. It is not subjected to any material acquisition of knowledge. It becomes revealed. How? Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir, Yata Devi Tata Garo. One who has staunch faith in the Supreme Lord and staunch faith in the personality of his spiritual master, bona fide, then he gets all the things revealed in himself. Spiritual things are not just like material things. So according to Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Guyatamam, the Lord says that the most confidential part of knowledge I am speaking to you, my dear Arjuna, because you are my very dear friend. That Sarva Dharmam Paricchaya Mamikam Sharanam Raja. So one who has that conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is surrendered unto him, he is considered to be the highest, topmost spiritualist. So a last point. The following two sections of the purport to Bhagavad Gita 10.11 clearly establish that the knowledge Krishna reveals within the heart is the knowledge of his personal form, which is realized only through devotional service and which automatically dispels ignorance as a flame destroys darkness. So this is two sections from the purport. Only by devotional service is the supreme truth Krishna pleased, and by his inconceivable energy can he reveal himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. The ultimate goal of Vishnu can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So even our word education, the root is from Latin educare, which means to uncover. So in olden times, this was more understood because people were more sane in the olden days. Now people have become insane. The process of education nowadays means to cover our knowledge more and more and more. Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he refers to the soul as the jnani. Jnani means the knower. So to know, to be in knowledge is a natural quality of the soul, natural constitutional position to be situated in knowledge. But avritam jnanam etena jnaninas nityavairanam. His knowledge has been covered by his nityavairanam, means his eternal enemy, kama rupena kaunteya dushpurnana lenacha, which is lust, which burns like fire. So system of education which is being employed in most of the world today is a system of covering the heart up more and more and more with all lusty conceptions. And it is said this lust burns like fire. And that means the senses and the mind and the intelligence become inflamed with desires for enjoying this world. And actually, they consider that the success. You know, when someone graduates from the school and his senses are nicely inflamed, his mind, intelligence are nicely inflamed, and he has all sorts of desires to go out, get a job, make lots of money, you see, contribute to the total sense gratification of the society. Then his teachers, they think, oh, we've done a very good job, you see. Of course, they don't express it in those terms, but there's more or less, they're very happy. He's completely in Maya. This is the sum and substance of what they're pleased about, that he's now completely in Maya. Therefore, Prabhupada used to say, these school systems of the modern world are slaughterhouses. They actually slaughter the innate intelligence of the living entity and teach him to love being a hog and a dog. Be a hog and dog and love it. So, real education means to uncover the heart. So that the knowledge, jnana dipena, the torchlight of knowledge, which is there in the heart, because super soul is there. That torchlight of knowledge is uncovered. But, as Prabhupada explains here, then that real education means devotional service. And nothing else. Prabhupada writes so clearly that the ultimate goal of Vishnu can be attained only by this chant, chanting of Hare Krishna, and by devotional service, and not by mental speculation or argument. So this is the last of the four verses which express the essence of God realization in Bhagavad Gita. So I have also selected one verse from the Uddhava Gita, Canto 11, Chapter 11, Text 48, which summarizes these four verses, summarize the message of these four verses, because this Uddhava Gita, as I think I explained before, it's parallel, it's a parallel to the Bhagavad Gita. In other words, the subject matter of Uddhava Gita is the same as in the Bhagavad Gita, but the Uddhava Gita goes into much greater detail. So you can find many verses which in the Uddhava Gita which cross-reference with the Bhagavad Gita. So here, in one verse, Sri Krishna is summing up the Chatrashloki in Bhagavad Gita. My dear Uddhava, I am personally the ultimate shelter and way of life for saintly liberated persons. And thus, if one does not engage in my loving devotional service, which is made possible by associating with my devotees, then for all practical purposes, one possesses no effective means for escaping from material existence. So, are there any questions on this?
It's described that the three stages of devotee, Anishamakari, Nadimakari, Uttamakari, has complete knowledge and is able to convince others. Because he knows the meditative world. Mm-hmm. Madhyamadhikari has also found place, but he is indifferent to the Uttamad because of this. He has not so much knowledge. So why is it described as the symptom of Uttamadhikari? We have this knowledge when actually the qualification is pure bhakti.
This is the Svata Siddha Gyan. If one even takes to the Vedic knowledge, but his reference, his application of the Vedic knowledge is only in the material world. In other words, at best it comes up to this analytic Gyan which separates the self from the mundane false ego, intelligence, mind and senses. That's as far as he goes. But he doesn't come to the conclusion of understanding the personality of Godhead. Then that is, as I've been explaining, Indriya Paratanta Gyan. It's another kind of knowledge. It's a knowledge which is given up by the devotees. So the knowledge of the pure devotee who comes to preach is Svata Siddha Gyan. This is knowledge given by Krishna, which means, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, it is the true perception of Vedic knowledge. You understand? The Vedic knowledge is naturally manifest in the heart of a pure devotee, as Prabhupada gave the example of Gaur Kishor Das Babaji. Although he couldn't read or write, when he spoke, he was speaking with all Vedic references. He was quoting all the Vedic Shastras, but he was not quoting the Shastras in the way some impersonalists will quote the Shastras, or the way some Sankhya philosopher, or the way some yogi, or, you know, someone else, some other philosopher whose main concern is the material world. Even the impersonalists or the, you know, the liberationists, their main concern is the material world, how to get free of it. So they understand the Vedic knowledge simply in those terms, in terms of negation. What to speak of the Karmakandiyas who use the Vedic knowledge to enjoy this world. So without being a devotee, one cannot have that knowledge by which one can explain Krishna consciousness with full Vedic reference. And that's actually the, you know, just like the other day, verse I mentioned in the notes, that what is that? Vedanti tattva vidasya jnanam advayam brahmeti parameti bhagavanichi shabjite. So learned transcendentalists, those who know the Vedas, they say that the whole purpose of the Vedas is to realize this absolute truth, which is understood by different persons in different ways. Some understand as impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, but ultimately Bhagavan. So this is actually the full conclusion of the Vedas. But those who do not receive Vedic knowledge from the devotees, those who are not devotees, they cannot understand this. So is that clear? You had a question?
Most important is to remember this conclusion of Vedanta. On the Shikshastaka, we learned that the most important process is chanting. Even in sacrifice, the most important is chanting. How it is connected?
Prabhupada said, chanting Hare Krishna mantra is thinking of Krishna. You understand?
Yes.
So if you chant Hare Krishna, you must remember Krishna. It is automatically the same, because Krishna is His name. So if you chant His holy name, then your attention is focused on Krishna only. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Hearing, chanting, remembering. These are naturally associated with one another. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of the nine processes of devotional service, these three are the most important. They're essential. Understood? Okay. So let us go on now to the Gita Rahasya. The Gita Rahasya, this means, Rahasya means, someone knows? Secret, yes. This is the secret or most confidential knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. This is verse 1865. So we will read that. Another, of course, these are all very famous verses. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru mami vaishasi satyam te pratijani priyo sime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage to me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this. because you are my very dear friend. So the Rahasya, in this Chatur Shloki, we've been speaking, or we've been hearing about the absolute necessity of associating with Krishna's devotees. Because it is from Krishna's devotees that one receives devotion, bhakti. One receives the grace of Krishna by which one can know Krishna, by which Krishna reveals himself. So this rahasya, this secret of the Bhagavad Gita, is revealed by Krishna only to his devotees. That's why you have to go to the devotees. I recently, because it's obvious from this verse that the rahasya, the secret, is the secret of how to become dear to Krishna. So I remember when I was in Bucharest in Romania, I was staying at the apartment of one person who had many, many books from India. He had photocopied, cut them from somewhere and photocopied them and bound them himself. So one book by some pundit from India, it was called the Gita Rahasya, the secret of the Gita. So I, because at that time when I was visiting in Bucharest, I was already thinking about this course, putting together such a course like this. So I was thinking, oh, that's interesting. Let's see what he says. What is the secret of the Gita? And so I opened it up, and it was just Karma Yoga. I mean, page after page, I was looking for even the mention of the name of Krishna. There was nothing. It was just, you should do your duty, you know, perform sacrifice, this, that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Vedic injunctions. But no word about Krishna. No word about doing anything for Krishna. So he was saying, this is the whole secret of the Gita. So this is a very good illustration that if one is not a devotee of Krishna, and one can never understand the rahasya, the secret of the Gita, which is expressed in this verse. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. So the rahasya or secret of the Gita is revealed only to his devotees. As Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 3, that very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend, and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. So the secret of the Bhagavad Gita is that although Sri Krishna summarizes for Arjuna the karma, jnana, and mystic yoga systems, you'll find, as anyone who's read the Gita knows, you'll find these things in the Gita also about karma, jnana, mystic yoga. But Krishna's purpose in instructing Arjuna is to establish bhakti yoga as not only the topmost yoga system, but ultimately the only yoga system that returns the jiva to his original eternal position in the spiritual world. So we have some well-known verses here, where Krishna says, and of all yogis, this is from chapter 6, text 47, of all yogis, the one with great faith and who abides always in me, thinking of me within himself and who renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Bhagavad Gita 12:2, that verse we just read applies to yogis. This verse, Bhagavad Gita 12:2, Krishna's opinion about who is superior, devotees or jnanis. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be the most perfect. Bhagavad Gita 18:55, one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full conscious of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. And again, another verse from the Uddhava Gita, we read this before, just as gold, when smelted in fire, gives up its impurities and returns to its pure, brilliant state. Similarly, the spirit soul absorbed in the fire of bhakti yoga is purified of all contamination caused by previous fruitive activities and returns to its original position of serving me in the spiritual world, only by the bhakti yoga process. So then, I have a question. Let's see what your opinion is on this. That why are other yoga systems even mentioned then in Bhagavad Gita? I take the trouble to describe them. Yes, Manaji.
I believe that persons they are interested in this system, but the best one is the bhakti yoga.
I would give you 50%.